Don't miss a minute of Ruined It's for Breakfast on our podcast, thanks to Distinctive Homes, the striking premium display home in Lightsview. DistinctiveHomes.com.au. 104.7 Triple M.
Oh, Thursday morning here on Triple M. Good morning, Roo.
G'day, Dits. How are you?
Yeah, good, thanks. You still driving around in the Ruber?
I am. Right, I'm doing a fair bit of, getting a fair bit of work,
doing
actually.
Doing a few miles, that's good.
I've just got the same people in there all the time.
Right. So later on this morning, if you can guess who's in Roo's Ruber, you could win $5,000.
Yeah, look forward to that. It's exactly right. Limo's going to join us for a laugh. He's heading off overseas. We're going to get to him today. He's going on one of those trips over there with the Australian troops, with the army, where he goes over there and try and keep some happy while they're off defending our country.
Yeah, it's a big job, isn't it?
It sure is. Yeah. The Angels will join us later on. There's been a big shooting in Sydney. We'll cover that.
Well, it's a police station. This is a real, real bad story. Terrible.
Pump action shotgun too. Not messing around. You don't get much more of a more dangerous gun than a pump action shotgun. Jamoan's going to join us for a laugh. So is Mickey D. We've got a big show, Dits.
Roo and Dits here on Triple M.
Triple M. Roo and Dits. Top three things you need to know.
Shocking story out of Western Sydney this morning, Roo. A gunman with an automatic pump action shotgun has gone on a rampage. He's fired shots at a house. He's then gone to the St. Mary's Police Station in Western Sydney and fired shots at the police building. He's then gone to Penrith Police Station, fired shots at police officers. They've returned fire. Several have been wounded. One police officer is in hospital and the gunman has in fact been shot dead.
Officers have shot a man dead outside Penrith Police Station in Sydney's West after he opened fire, injuring an officer.
I remember seeing him sort of point the gun at the police car and shoot.
Just heard three loud bangs. It sounded like it was firecrackers.
The police have done an outstanding job and really have shown a lot of courage and bravery, but also a lot of empathy and care during this incident for the deceased person.
Yeah. I often say this, once upon a time we read about these things in the United States or Europe, didn't we? And now there's an ever-present danger here in Australia, unfortunately.
Yeah, don't know what's behind it, why the shooting has happened. We don't know anything about the man who's been killed at this stage. But once you're shooting up a house and then shooting up cops, I'm looking forward to finding out, unfortunately, the background of this fella.
Mm. Moving on, something that affects all of us, Roo, petrol prices.
Yes.
I filled up last night. We went out to dinner and on the way home I stopped. Now, my car is diesel, $1.46, which I don't think's cheap, but...
No.
By comparison, phone calls into Triple M this morning on the way in. We are heading up towards $2 now in the eastern states. One caller rang in and said $1.94.9. $1.94. That's unbelievable.
Yeah, I remember it pushing up near a couple of bucks a while ago, but you start noticing it at the Bowser when you... start paying up near that amount, don't you? And everyone's driving around at the moment, school holidays, people are going to the country and using a bit of juice.
Mm.
At a time when people haven't got spare money in their pockets at the end of the pay packet, that's the last thing they need.
Mm. I remember when I first started driving, I know this is living in the past, but you know, I'm 16, I'd drive my mum's car around, she'd say, here's five, but go and put $5 of petrol in the car, will you? No worries, I'd go out and do that. So last night was a record for me, over $100. When you're getting out $100 to fill up your car, that's unbelievable, isn't it?
Fill up a Land Cruiser and you go through a bit more. Let's have a listen to Peter Owley from the NRMA on the petrol prices coming into the long weekend.
A couple of weeks ago, we all know about that attack in Saudi Arabia on the refinery. Before that happened, world oil prices were at $66 a barrel. That's the Australian equivalent. And they jumped to $84 a barrel. As a result, we had nothing to do with that attack. But today, heading into the long weekend, Australian motorists are paying the price for it.
Yeah, so oil's gone up 25-30%, plus our Aussie dollar drops, which apparently makes it more expensive to get petrol as well. So
I'll still always ask the question. I'll always ask this question, and we've interviewed many, many people over this journey, and we get it explained to us, and I still don't understand because I'm a slow learner. How can it be $1.94 at one place and then down the road, we're $1.54? Surely It's the same petrol arriving at the same time in their tanks in the ground, and one's charging 40 cents a litre more.
Yeah, wonder if they catch up, dits, or they're just more expensive or what they do. But I know where I'd be filling up.
Yeah.
Not at the dearer place.
No, exactly, yeah. What else is making news, Ruth?
Well, Alan Joyce is getting married.
What's her name?
Her name, no, it's not her. He's gay. His partner's Shane Lloyd, and they're getting married in a month.
Right.
And if I was Shane, I'd get married as quick as you can, because Alan's salary is $23 million a year.
He announced that the other day, and what do you know? Shane wants to get married.
He's going to be a very happy husband, I'm sure. I wonder if Alan gets him to sign a prenup or not. I don't know, but I'd be getting hitched too.
Yeah, get down the aisle as quick as you can, Shane.
I might try and beat him to it, cut him off.
You'd do that for $23 million.
I'm sure Alan's not worried about petrol prices.
Probably not.
Or maybe for his planes. It'll
affect Qantas, no doubt about that. All right, that's what's making news. Ruin Dits here on Triple M. The Stat Man isn't far away. Ru, here's a question without notice.
Yep.
I can put to you that yesterday, in the betting for who's going to be the Crows coach, Matthew Nix came from $17 into $2.
I'm not allowed to bet.
That's a huge bet. Someone's put a lot of money on that.
How much does it take to do that, though? Seriously.
Yeah, but it doesn't always mean someone's put a lot of money on it. It means that someone knows something, too.
Do they?
When it goes from $17 to $2.
Mm.
Well, I know you won't comment. I'm just putting it out there that Matthew Nix firmed yesterday from $17 into $2.
I didn't speak to Mum yesterday and see what she's been up to. Yeah. So.
All right. Well, I'm just putting it out there.
All right.
All right.
So he's got the job, has he?
So, well, where are you at?
If he was $2, wait till he's $1.04, I reckon, Dits, if that's the case.
Well, someone knows something.
Scott Burns was favourite last week.
He is favourite, but it's just a big firmer in the market.
Right, so we're having two coaches.
You might. That'd be new. Yeah. Maybe you are.
I'll wait and see what happens here, Dits.
All right. In some trade news, we've been hearing about Orazio Fantasia a fair bit.
Mm.
He is set to formally request a trade home to South Australia, from what we're hearing now. Yeah,
there's a few stories getting around about that at the moment with Essendon and Dougal Howard.
Yes.
And Danaher to Sydney.
Mm-hmm.
So Essendon could lose Danaher and Orazio. They wouldn't be happy with that, I wouldn't have thought.
So what's happening with Essendon then?
I don't know. But I have heard a rumour that there's a very big name player potentially involved in this deal that no one knows about yet.
From which club?
I don't know. But wait. No.
Don't give me half a story.
I'm giving you half a story. And when it happens, you'll go, yes, that's a big name.
Ooh.
Juicy. Very juicy.
But you're not telling us who?
I don't know myself.
No, you do.
And I promise you, I don't.
Well, you've just said it's juicy.
The bloke who looked at me went, yes, it's big.
Yeah, all right.
Yeah.
Hey, now, as you know, some of your players, big name players.
And he's contracted.
All right. The Crouch brothers have been linked to the Gold Coast. Let's hear from Gold Coast footy operations manager Craig Cameron about their top two picks.
The players at the top of this year's draft, I think, are exceptional players. So it takes something extraordinary to move those selections, but it would be silly of us to say they're off the table. We've got to look at all ways we can to improve our football club. I haven't had too many calls on them as yet, but they're not strictly off the table, no. It would just have to be something extraordinary.
Mm.
So the door's ajar.
The door's ajar. The right deals there. They want some mature players by the sounds of it.
Mm. And your club would like top two picks as well.
I think every club would, Dits, if they're prepared to give something up to get it.
Mm. All right, no surprise here. Marcus Bontempelli won his third best and fairest at the Bulldogs last night. In trade news, we knew this was coming. Tim Kelly from Geelong wants to go to the Eagles. Your best and fairest tonight, Roo, who would be the favourite?
Oh, you would have to think probably Brad Crouch, I would have thought. He polled the most votes in the Brownlow and had a pretty consistent year. I would have thought Brad Crouch, as they say in the paper, would go close. Yeah.
Watch this space. The AFLW players are after a better pay deal. They've sought the help of Maurice Blackburn lawyers.
Right.
So they're getting serious about that.
Yep.
Adelaide United are through to the FFA Cup final for the second year in a row, which is a great effort. Well done. They beat Central Coast last night, 2-1. And that is our look at sport. By the way, thanks to Carlton Drafts, Murray Bridge Gold Cup. Now, this is on October 18. Book now the
brand
new track.
We are going to that, Dits.
Yep, the new track at Murray Bridge. It's fantastic. It really is. There was racing there yesterday, and everyone's just raving about it. So head up there to the Carlton Draft Murray Bridge Gold Cup, October 18.
Jamoan to join us next.
He's one of Australia's favourite comedians and one of Australia's favourite Irish blokes.
I have to apologise, I have a bit of a strong accent and I tend to mumble quite a bit as well, so good luck with the hard work, I don't know if it is.
And he doesn't mind taking the mickey out of our accent.
Sounds like you're stuck in second gear, that... And we go through all the gears in one sentence. Like, no way, what does he think he's doing?
Please welcome back to Ruined Dits for Breakfast, Jim Owen.
Oh, Roo, love this bloke. And he's on his way to Adelaide this weekend. It's to help out the Adelaide Quit Lightning.
Yeah, they're having a fundraiser, a comedy night, and I've got the funniest bloke in Australia, Jim Owen. G'day. What was that?
Now, tell us, how did you get involved with the Adelaide Lightning Basketball Club? What's your affinity with basketball?
Oh, well, you know, I'm a big fan of women in general. And no, I don't. My daughter actually plays basketball.
Well, and I got a few, that's close.
And one that plays netball as well. And so, yeah, so we've been to quite a number of the games over the years, so I'm looking forward to it.
Are the Irish into their basketball much, Jamal?
We're not really the tallest of people, are we? I think they should allow a divisional, like, you know, those height things that you get, like, in fun rides where you've got to be above a certain height to get on. Well, they should have, the opposite. You have to be, like, certain divisions. Like, oh, quite simple, under 6 foot people.
Yeah,
maybe under 5 foot people, and because it just seems to be one of those things. It's just the taller you are, AFL's heading down the same path, isn't it?
Yeah, sort of they're all getting a bit taller though. Although they'll need a few speedy small forwards these days. A few little fellas are getting back into the game.
Yeah, I suppose you have the same in basketball too. There's crumbs sort of players that pick it up, but it seems to be dominated by big people. I'm just not one of them. I would love to play. I think that's what I'm getting at.
Hey, Jim Owen, I'm surprised you actually took our call today, because last time you spoke to us on this show, Dits actually promised to organise you to take you out for a hit of golf, and he forgot to get back to you.
No. It'll still happen.
When's that going to happen?
Well,
I did have a hit of golf when I was there, but yeah. I've been to the British Open since the last time I spoke to you.
Oh. It was actually in Ireland, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was in my hometown.
The British Open in Ireland.
Uh-huh. Well, yeah, because I'm from Northern Ireland, and they had the British Open back in the 1950s in Portrush. And because of the troubles, they never had it back again. But then they had the Irish Open there, so they do this cross-border thing. And because Rory McIlroy knows the course, Darren Clark from there, Graham McDowell, as you say, but it's McDowell. They all grew up in that town, and they had the Irish Open there. They got 150,000, and they thought, wow, we should bring the British Open back here. So, yeah, it was a big hit. So we all went back for it.
Well, that's too dangerous to have the golf in Ireland, was it?
Yeah, in fact, they don't even call it the British Open anymore. They call it the Open, because even that was, you know, a little bit too inflammatory. But yeah, so the guy that won it was from the Republic of Ireland, and they flew his flag through the town, where they'd probably never flown an Irish flag ever, because of the situation there, which I thought was kind of funny.
All right, well, Saturday night looks like it's going to be a big night anyway, Jamone. You've got an all-star cast. You're coming over. We've got the Logie Award-winning legend, Effie. We've got also Harley Breen, who's a great comedian who we've had on this show a few times as well. So October the 5th, that's this Saturday night, and all the benefits go to the Adelaide Lightning Basketball Club.
Yeah, and in fact, if you want tickets, I think we can go to your website, Jamone. What is your website?
Yeah, I'm sure it's my name. I have no idea. No, I'm joking. Jamone.com.
All right.
Easy.
That's where you get your tickets for that, mate. We look forward to seeing you in town this weekend.
Cheers. Thanks, fellas.
Thank
all the best.
Good on you, Jamone. There he is, Jamone.
Good to talk to you, boys.
Roo, we were driving in this morning, you and I, at about the same time, and we heard a disturbing phone call, didn't we?
Yeah, a bit of a funny phone call from to the overnight show regarding cab drivers.
I could name plenty of cabbies that are either using ice, weed, running dealers around, you know, sometimes even product.
Are cab drivers randomly tested?
No, I've never been tested. I've been a cabbie 13 years.
So he's saying cab drivers are not only using it, but they're also driving people around, and probably to get fares, which we know the cabbie industry is on its knees. There's definitely cab drivers not out there not making enough money and trying to get more income.
Yep.
So are they turning a blind eye to crims that are delivering drugs around to personal use?
This is quite concerning to me, because now that you're a Aruba driver, I want you tested.
I've already got a full car.
I want you tested.
Well, maybe I've got four criminals in it, three and Fiona O'Loughlin.
There you go. This isn't to be laughed at, though, is it? Because, is this accurate? And seriously, we've just played that grab, but understand, that is a caller who rang our radio station this morning, a cab driver saying that. So cabbies or Uber drivers out there, or please defend your industry, or is this accurate? I mean, this is quite scary that cab drivers, he's saying, are driving around high on ice.
Do you reckon... when they have the breathos out there, the cops would pull taxis into the coned area to try and test them?
Yeah.
Or would they wave them on?
Yeah. Good question.
Because the only reason you'd get done is if you were had an accident.
Yeah, maybe. Cabbies out there, Uber drivers, or if you know anyone.
Do you get pulled over by the cops at breathos, or have you ever been tested? And do you know people that are... driving around.
Was that caller on the money? Was he, or is he exaggerating, or is it true?
I heard it. He didn't sound like he was exaggerating. He just said it as if it was a matter of fact.
Yeah.
He said, I could name 20 of them.
Yeah.
That's a fair few.
Yeah. 133353. If you know anything about this, please help us out. Ruined It's on Triple M. Ruined It's here on Triple M.
Yeah, we had the caller on the overnight show say this.
I could name 20 cabbies that are either using ice, weed, running dealers around, you know, sometimes even product.
Are cab drivers randomly tested?
No, I've never been tested. I've been a cabbie 13 years.
He was so convincing, like he was just rolling out of his mouth. He wasn't making it up or anything. That's what it sounded like anyway. But let's take a call from Linda from Murray Bridge, who's a cab driver. G'day, Linda.
Good morning, guys. How you going?
Have you ever been pulled over, Linda?
Yes, I have once. I've been passed on once, and I've been pulled over once, and both times I didn't have a fare in the cab.
Right.
So, but I can definitely say I know all the drivers up here. It's a small industry, and we're all clean. You do get a few addicts in the car, so you definitely know what's going on. But yeah, it's just potluck whether they pull you over or not.
All right. Linda, Ditz and I might book you on Friday the 18th of October for the Murray Bridge Cup. Yeah. You can drive us back to Adelaide, all right, Linda?
No worries. Thanks, guys.
All right.
Have a great day.
Thanks, Linda.
Same to you. Let's go to an anonymous caller. Hello, good morning.
Morning, guys.
How are you, mate?
What would you like to say?
I'm sort of moving through. I can sort of confirm it does happen a bit.
What, drivers use or drivers drive around criminals?
I wouldn't know. I wouldn't know that side of drivers using, but yeah, driving around can be a common thing. I have obviously heard of that happening. It's a bit obviously safer to not be the one driving the car, and I think the outside of it that the cabs aren't really targeted.
So you're saying dealers are using cabbies to deliver drugs?
Yeah, so I wouldn't say they would be by themselves. It's not just the cabbie in the car. Obviously, I think the last one said that they call it a fare. So there is actually a fare in the car. There will be someone in the car that will obviously, go to wherever and then hop out for, hey, give me 10 minutes while I just run in there. I'll be back and then we'll head to somewhere else.
No.
All right. Thanks for calling in. Ru, just on that, let's be absolutely fair here to the cab industry, to everyone listening that drives a cab or that knows someone.
Well, they'll be doing it with Uber as well. It'll be no different.
And look, so we're not trying to tarnish the industry. All that happened is a caller rang this morning and said, I believe this is what's going on.
Yeah.
And that's the only reason we're talking about it. So please don't think we're, smashing the cab industry.
Of course we're not.
And
I feel for him. I actually had a cabbie in Melbourne with the wife on Friday, and he was a great Indian lad, really smiley and happy and funny. Mm. He said, cab industry stuff, I'm getting out.
Well,
no good.
Do you remember
Can't
a month ago?
Fares.
What did it's I say right going. Here a month ago? And you all shot me down in flames. The flag fall needs to be a lot higher. I know this is a different topic, but it should be $20 minimum for a cab driver.
I feel sorry for them, always have, since Uber come in. It's just wrecked the industry, but that's change. That's time, isn't it? You can't do anything about it.
Yeah. But let's say you're Linda. And again, I don't even know Linda, so I'm not targeting her. But she gets called to an address, picks someone up.
Yep.
She doesn't know that they're about to do a deal or go somewhere.
No one's saying
that
they're doing the wrong thing.
Take me to this house. Wait for 5 minutes. I'll be back.
If I was a crim and I was doing that, I'd do the same thing.
Yeah. So
instead of driving.
I don't think it's the cab driver's fault, is it?
Not at all.
They're just getting a fare and they don't know what's going on.
No. You tipping your cabbies $20 when you get in there?
I do. I look after cabbies.
Good.
I just think it's the right thing to do, Roo.
Hey, good on you, Dits. Hey, talking about cabbies, we've got Ruba coming up where I drive around in my Uber with four celebrities and you can win $5,000. That's coming up shortly.
Talk about dodgy drivers.
Don't worry about $20. You get $5,000 in this one.
Ruined it.
Dits, when you moved to the hills for a tree change, did you, is it all going to plan? You enjoying being up there?
Yeah, love it. Why is that?
I remember when you first went up there, it must have been autumn and you couldn't believe that trees' leaves change colour. Do you remember that?
Yes, yes. I was a bit confused. I thought they were different trees.
You just thought they were, you thought they were different trees.
Someone's planted different trees in my back.
So the KDM these things are changing colours and dropping their leaves, these bloody things.
Yeah.
Are they called deciduous trees or something?
Oh, bugger if I know. Something like that. Trees are trees.
Anyway. Kate text us and just let us know that you've got autumn under control, but you're still trying to work out spring.
Yeah.
So apparently you've said to Kate, I'm a bit confused. What happens when the blossom finishes on the trees? What happens next?
Well, last week, all of these white things appeared. We've got these big trees out the back.
Yep.
And now they're covered in white. Looks like snow. And on the ground, it's all falling.
That's right. That's the blossom.
Yeah. Mm.
You didn't know what happened next.
No, because last year they had green leaves all over them.
They haven't got green leaves coming out of them now?
No. it's all white.
So. Yeah, but after the blossom, that's when the leaves are shooting. That's spring.
Okay.
Spring out the leaves.
How many different things will this tree grow?
It'll grow leaves and then the leaves will fall off.
Right.
All right.
Yeah. And then
the white
things come back again then?
Yeah, next year.
Right.
In 12 months.
Okay.
In spring.
This is fascinating. This is incredible.
Good stuff. You're getting there with the old nature. You love the nature. This tree change is taking some time, but it's growing on you. Well done.
Ruined it's here on Triple M. Roo, you know, we talk about our ambos a lot, don't we? For all sorts of reasons, whether it's ramping, every time something like that comes up, it's very controversial and it affects so many people. Our health system is so vital and so important to us. 2 days ago, an ambulance driver wrote to me anonymously, so I won't say who it is, basically saying the government, not forcing, but is encouraging them to sort of do overtime. And I think it stems back to either last Monday or the previous Monday, where only 6 ambos volunteered to do overtime. Normally 30 would volunteer to do overtime. Now, as you know, no matter what job you do, overtime's voluntary. You can't force people to do overtime. You can
encourage them
and say, I'll do overtime. I'm keen to earn the extra money. But if there are people who are saying, well, actually, no, I don't want to do it.
I've got something on.
The government can't come back and say, well, you should be doing overtime. It's unfair. You're really hurting the system. And from what I can read between the lines here.
Is this a consistent thing or like a one-off?
The ambulance service are saying, how about you employ more people and get more cars out on the road rather than force us or try to force us to do overtime? And so what happened was last Monday, when only 6 put their hand up, the ambos get criticised because the service is depleted and it's not their fault. They cannot
be. Well,
you've
got to have enough ambulance drivers out there, surely. Otherwise, that's highly dangerous, I would have thought.
Now, I think I've got this story right, but I want to get to the bottom of it. Phil Palmer is the secretary of the Ambulance Employee Association. He joins us now. Phil, good morning. Have I got the story right or not?
First, I just need to clarify, they hate being called ambulance drivers.
Sorry, I apologise.
No, that's all right. The paramedics.
Paramedics.
And,
paramedics. Sorry about that.
That's okay. The story's not quite right. What's happened is a growing group of members, have been discussing for some time how the government doesn't value them and why the hell do they keep coming in on days off to keep the ambulance service propped up. One particular member decided to lobby his workmates to not nominate for overtime next Monday. It hasn't happened yet. It's next Monday,
right,
public holiday.
Yep.
Now, what nominating for overtime means is you put your name down a list and say, it's like on the reserve bench. I'm sure you know what that means.
Yeah, I know that other people have been there.
But it's like being on the reserve bench. You put your name up and say, look, I'm here. And if someone calls in unexpectedly sick or whatever, then I'm available to call for overtime. So they're not actually working. They're putting their name down to possibly work.
Mm-hmm.
What's actually happened is around 40 or 50 normally do this. For next Monday, about 8 have done it, and others have withdrawn their nomination. So, but Rob Lucas, Treasurer Lucas, is beating this up, making it seem like it's some looming disaster, and he's suddenly concerned about the ambassador being unsafe, having allowed it to be unsafe for the whole term of his office. So he's beating it up, possibly to distract from property taxes and other things that are going on in his life. I don't know. It's a beat up. Our members tell us that all the rosters are full on Monday. So the people who had put their name up for overtime wouldn't necessarily get any overtime at all anyway. And you know what? I heard what you guys are saying before, and you're right. It's when did voluntary overtime become mandatory?
Exactly.
When did the government say to people, you have to come in on days off to work? You know, you're required to. Well, they can't require them. And we've been advising our members that they don't have to come in on their days off. The government's taken that as us taking industrial action. So they've interpreted that conveniently, that the union's taking industrial action, telling its members it's got a right to choose. They can choose to do overtime, and they can choose not to. And I don't think anyone can tell them any different, and I certainly wouldn't, other than give them the advice.
All right.
So it's a big beat up, I think, and it's just a go at paramedics who do so much great work for South Australia, not just paramedics, but ambulance officers as well. And it's a diversion away from the real issues, which is a chronically understaffed ambulance service, and we've spoken about that before.
So do you need actually more paramedics?
A hell of a lot more paramedics. That's the problem for Mr. Lucas, I think. He doesn't like to spend money. He doesn't think South Australians deserve a better ambulance service. But we need hundreds, and we've been saying that
hundreds.
A lot. We need hundreds. Yeah, hundreds. We're so far behind the eight ball.
If you could pick a number, how many extra to South Australia? How many we got, and how many extra do we need?
Well, you know, it grows over the years because the workload increases every year. We had an agreement with the Department of Health a year ago about around 150, 151. I would think that would be more than that now. And even if we started recruiting immediately, it'd take a year to start getting boots on the ground. So we're miles behind the eight ball. We've got a long time of an unsafe ambulance service left yet.
So another 150 you need, Phil?
At least another 150. That would be a good start, though. It is huge.
How many are there? How many paramedics are there roughly in South Australia at the moment?
Around 1,300, 1,400.
So you need another 10%.
Easy, another 10%.
Right.
Workload's gone up by far more than that.
Okay, interesting.
All right, Phil, thanks for clearing that up for us. Well done.
Thanks for having me
on,
guys.
All right, Phil Palmer, Secretary of Ambulance Employee Association.
That's amazing.
Yeah, very, very, well, it's almost dangerous. If we're 150 short, it's not almost dangerous, it is dangerous.
Yep.
Yeah. Ruined it's here on Triple M. Ruined it's on Triple M.
Oh, it's, there's funny things you just happen to learn. I was amazed before, you had no idea that leaves come after blossom in spring. How old are you?
55.
What have you been doing for like sort of 50 years when you drive past, you see blossom, and then you go, right,
I don't take any notice of it.
You don't, do you? You just go, you move on to the next thing.
Mm.
How could you not know that? And last year you seriously didn't know that leaves change colour before they die and fall off in autumn.
No, it's not my strong point.
You're not interested at all. It's very funny. It's very funny. But you do learn things every day. Don't you? You get older and wiser.
Yeah.
I always have a boys trip around this time of the year coming up soon. I mean, you learn a lot on boys trips.
Mm-hmm.
Last year I learnt that if you fill up a 2-litre lemonade bottle or Coke bottle, whatever, plastic one, full of water and put it in a burning, like a really hot big fire, I would have thought, and I would have bet large amounts of money that plastic would have melted and the water would just whoosh, go out and go over the fire. Do you think that's what had happened?
Yeah, I would have thought.
Do you know what actually happens?
What?
It explodes and blows out like a grenade.
Really?
Very, very, very dangerous.
Hell.
If you put a 2-litre bottle in a raging fire.
How long does it take?
It takes long enough for that water to boil and then it explodes.
Wonder why
you
the
would
plastic
think
doesn't
that,
melt.
Why wouldn't that plastic melt?
Yeah.
Don't try this at home, and I mean it. It is super dangerous. We were all standing around a fire about 15 metres away.
Yeah.
And then this thing just blew straight past our heads.
Now, if you've just tuned in, you're listening to The Curiosity Show.
I'm just talking about
Rob
weird
Morrison
things you learn. You didn't know the role of blossom.
No.
I didn't know what you could do with Coke bottles on boys' troops.
Got another one. Recently, a plumber came around to our house because the toilet had, I don't know, blocked or wasn't working or something.
You've got to have the answer to the question here too, by the way.
All my life, I just thought when you flush a toilet, you push a button and something sort of electronic happens or something. It flushes all the gunk out.
It drops a heap of water into the bowl. That's what it does.
And a heap of water comes in. I thought this was some sort of, you know, machine that you push a button and this all happens.
Righto.
Blake said to me, look, I'll be back in a day's time. He said, in the meantime, just pour a bucket of water into your toilet. I said, well, what will that do? The thing will just fill up.
Overflow.
Yeah. He says, no, it flushes it all through. And I said, well, how does that work? I had no idea of this concept that the water that rushes out when you push the button is flushing through. I guess
it's just the weight of the water through the S-bend.
Yeah, I guess that's why it's called a flush, isn't it?
But
I would have thought if I
you thought there's a little person in there opening up a little
a little trap door, and I'll shovel all that through, and then the next no, but wouldn't you just think that why wouldn't that toilet just fill up and overflow if I pour a bucket of water in it?
I don't know, something to do with gravity or something, Dits.
Got me.
Something to do with that S bend. The combination of that S bend would do that,
right?
Yeah.
So there you go.
Back to us with an answer. A plumber will ring in.
Well, if a plumber can ring up and explain that to me, why does that work?
But I know our little things that we've learnt, Dits, have been, you know, okay, to, you know, but I think what Alice is about to tell us is about to take the cake. And this that will not surprise many of our listeners. But
what have you learnt, Alice?
Well, today I was sitting on West Terrace waiting for the lights to change, looking out at the park.
Yeah. At about 10 to 5 this morning.
Yeah.
And I saw a possum running along the ground and then up a tree. And that like blew my mind because my whole life I've just assumed that possums just go from treetop to treetop or like across wires
just
and stuff.
Across from one to the other.
I just never clicked in my head that they could actually go on the ground. Like it sounds so dumb, but now that as soon as I saw it happen, it like made everything fall into place. And I was like, oh my God, they can go on the ground.
Why wouldn't you think they'd go on the ground? How do you think they end up dead in the middle of the road?
Because I thought they'd fallen from trees or wires. They get electrocuted and then fall on the middle of the ground. I had no idea they could go on the ground. In my head, they're like treetop animals, like a monkey.
Monkeys go on the ground.
Look at the blank look on her face.
No, they don't. They
don't. Monkeys don't go on the ground.
I don't know. I've never seen a monkey now that you say that.
133353.
It's not a judgmental place.
No,
it's a safe place.
No, it's not. This is James Rain. We got a double to go and see James Rain. He's celebrating 40 years and his Boys Light Up tour in 2020 at Thebenham Theatre. What have you learnt in the last couple of weeks?
What have you learnt as an adult? And you go, oh, I never knew that.
I should have known that.
And if a plumber can help me with my toilet question, please. No, seriously, I don't understand it.
Yeah. All right. Give us a call. 133353.
Things you've just realised as an adult that you just never knew. Curiosity. There you go.
Ooh, there you go.
Curiosity show.
Ditch can't work out why toilet flushes just with tipping water into it. Let's go to the Adelaide Hills. G'day, Paul.
Yeah, Lou, how are you?
What have you learnt, Paul?
Well, you were talking about the plastic bottle in the fire before. Do you know you can boil water in a paper bag on a fire?
Oh, cut it out.
How?
Give it a go, Rick.
Well, the paper bag doesn't burn.
What temperature does paper burn at?
No idea.
454 degrees Fahrenheit or somewhere around there.
How
water boils at 212.
What, say that second part you said there?
Paper burns at about 450 degrees Fahrenheit.
Yeah.
Water boils at 212. Paper doesn't get hot enough to burn if there's water in it.
You're right. So the temperature of the water keeps the bag cold enough and the temperature of the water keeps the plastic bottle cold enough so it doesn't burn.
Correct.
So, Paul, what about they? You know, when you say a paper bag, if I pour water into a paper bag, the bag just becomes saturated and disintegrates, doesn't it? Before we even get
to
the fire.
Maybe a chip bag, like a wax chip bag or something.
Okay.
An ice coffee container.
Okay, no worries.
Like
the paper will burn down to the water level, but it won't burn any further.
So if you go camping and you forget your billy, you can use your old ice coffee container.
You can if you want a bit of ash in it.
Right.
Oh, I might try that, Paul.
On you, Paul.
Gee, I've got a big weekend coming up. Let's go to Fullerton. G'day, Shannon.
Hey, g'day, guys. Just to answer the why does pouring water down make the toilet flush?
Yep.
When toilets were first invented, they actually had a tank high above them, and you pulled a lever, which made the water rush down into the toilet tank, and that's how the water ended up vacating the tank. Same concept. It's all gravity. That's all it is. You pour water high enough, you hit it in the hole, it'll go ahead and push the water all out of your tank. And they've just gone ahead and developed the system to be smaller and the tanks to be just on the back. And it's just all a push mechanism. That's all it does. It's just gravity.
Shannon, is it the same for when you siphon petrol out of a tank? How you can use a little, you know, the ball bearing in the hose, or how you suck on it at the start once it gets going? Is that, explain
yep,
that
same
one.
Concept. Fish tank, any tank, gas tank, sewage tank, whatever you want to empty out. Yes.
Yep.
Right.
Okay.
Thanks, Shannon.
Mm. Good stuff. Things you learn. We got calls Shannon, going off here. We're going
to
learn a lot.
Shannon happens to be a septic tank herself.
Yeah, she is an American. 1-333-53. Give us a buzz, but the phones are going off.
We need to learn things.
We're
what
going
we,
back
what
to
have
school.
You learned? What have you learned as an adult?
Yeah, let's go to Victor Harbour. G'day, Robbie.
Hello, how are you?
Good. We're
Hello,
running Robbie. Late, but we want to hear these calls, Robbie, so make it sharp.
All right,
please.
Very sweet. So my mum, about 10 years ago, realised that there's no such thing as a prune tree.
A prune tree?
Prune tree. She actually thought prunes grew on trees. And I said to her, no, they're plums. They dry them. And she goes, no, there's a prune tree.
Hang on. A prune is a plum.
Yes, I
no.
know that.
There you go. I've learned something as well.
No. Well,
are you serious?
I thought there was prunes.
There is prunes, but there's no such thing as a prune tree. It's a plum growing like dried. So anyway, she is Irish.
Are you serious?
No, she's serious.
Well, if that's true, I didn't know that either.
I didn't know either, Robbie. So thanks for that. Well done.
I'm going to check that, Robbie. I'm not quite sure if you're right there.
I don't think Rue believes you're right.
No, I don't. But I'm happy to be wrong. I've just never thought of that. Mm. Let's go to Ranella. G'day, Dylan.
Hey, how you going, fellas?
Good, Dylan.
Going to Melbourne a few years ago now. Just daylight savings had hit, and my wife asked how the sun knew that it was daylight savings.
How did the sun know that it was daylight saving?
Well, I
didn't realise that the time changes. Thought the sun just changed its gig or something.
Yeah, right.
Wow.
Yeah.
Mm.
Now,
I reckon your wife could learn a lot of things if she doesn't know if she's saying things like that.
There you are. We've just Googled
Dylan.
It. Dried plums.
They're dried plums.
They are.
Bloody hell.
There you go, Robbie.
I'm amazed.
Right. Thank you.
That is interesting. Let's go to Adelaide. G'day, Tracy.
Hey, how are you?
Good, Trace. What do you got for us?
What have you learnt?
I didn't realise that ceiling fans have a summer and winter switch.
Oh, they
Wait
have not.
On. Hang feel- on.
They
hang
have
on.
Not.
What do you mean?
Yeah, they do.
What
they
do you mean they do? I've got ceiling fans and there's no summer and winter switch on them. Do they just automatically
you
change?
You have a look up. Yeah, at the top of the fan, you flip the switch to winter and it blows the hot air down, and in summer it spins the other way to take the hot air up.
Are you serious, Tracy? That makes plenty of sense.
Yep, the landlord told me. Didn't realise.
So
he just wanted you to chop your head off when you stuck your head up to the fan.
So, Tracy, are you saying that the angle of the blades change?
Yeah, no. So if you look now, your blades are on an angle.
Yeah.
And so it's just the spin changes.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Clockwise or anti-clockwise. Yeah, there's a switch up the top of every ceiling fan.
So it spins the other way.
Yep.
Tracy, that's unbelievable.
Down or cuts the heat up.
That is incredible.
I'm going to double check that, Trace, but thanks.
Just everyone that rings in,
we
Rue's
going to
doubt
weekly?
You. Rue's doubting Thomas, but, you know, in the end, we'll get there.
Okay. Have you ever changed a ceiling fan?
No, I've Tracy, what she just said, I've never, ever heard of that, ever.
There you go. But, you know.
But what you're doing, though, is you're accusing Tracy of lying.
Well, I don't want to accuse anyone of lying. But
you are.
I sort of am. Anyway, let's go to the... We're way late, Dits. We're very late for the news.
But we've learnt something.
I'm going for the dried the dried plums or prunes.
Righto, Robbie.
That was amazing. Well done, Robbie. You can go and see James Rain. He's coming next year at the Thebe Theatre.
Ruined Dits for breakfast.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome...
Lehman.
I'm Anthony Lehman.
World-renowned superstar comedian, fresh out of the Riverland in South Australia. Limo, good morning.
Oh, g'day, guys. Wonderful to be with you again. But can I just apologise for not being in the studio?
Right.
Because, I had the best intentions. This morning I jumped into a cab, and my cab driver did 6 donuts and said he had to go and visit a whole bunch of people.
This is on the back of, we had a phone call this morning. Have a listen to this.
I could name 20 cabbies that are either using ice, weed, running dealers around, you know, sometimes even product.
Are cab drivers randomly tested?
No, I've never been tested. I've been a cabbie 13 years.
Yeah, so that's the bloke that picked you up, Limo, is it?
I might have got one of those. Anyway, the cab driver I've got with me now is absolutely fine. Yeah, just pull over up here on the left, mate. That's it. No! Oh, no! Oh, no! Slow down! What are you doing?
Oh, no. You all right, Limo?
Oh, yeah, we're right. I'll be right. Hey, guys, just a quick question. Should I tip him?
No. I'd do a runner if I was you.
Get out of there.
Agree. I'll do a runner. Hey, did you guys realise there's no footy on this weekend?
Yeah, I have heard that.
It's weird. Can I ask you a favour? Mm. Can I ask you both, right, to just at 6:20 p.m. tonight, can you both just text me a team? It doesn't matter. So I can stare at them and pretend there's footy on this
you
weekend.
You just want to have a look at a footy team.
I just need to look at a team.
Yeah, Thursday selection day.
I need something to stay in the mix. And I'm a bit annoyed as well. My name hasn't even come up over trade talk yet.
Yeah, everyone else has.
Everyone else. Can I just obviously don't play for the Crows.
Can I just tell you, when the Crows announce their team tonight at 6:20, there are a lot of outs.
I'll get onto that. Have you got a coach yet, Roo? I'll put my hand up for that.
Well, it said Matty Nix has been $17 into $2. Read into that what you'd like.
Oh, okay. All right. That's a bit of smart money. Is it smart? Maybe it's dumb money. Who knows?
It could be dumb money. Yeah. Dits did bring it up.
See, it's the love between you two that I really celebrate.
Oh, we're tight. Don't worry about that.
Hey, quick one for you guys. Just be careful when you're teaching your kids how to deal with unwanted situations. Our young fella, right, has had a couple of instances at kinder or, you know, wherever, have pushed him over, right? And he's 3-year-old, the standard procedure. And we just said to him, look, mate, when that happens, you just say to people, stop touching me. I don't like it, okay? I don't like it. Anyway, it's good. So we've taught him that. He knows how to say that. But we're at the playground the other day, me and him, and he's running around the playground. It's time to go home. And I go over and I try to grab him, pull him off a bit of equipment, and he yells out, stop touching me, I don't like it.
See, I can remember all through my school saying, keep touching me, I like it.
Oh, come on, Dits.
Chris Dittmar.
He's a sick individual, isn't he, Limo?
No, but we all parent differently, don't we?
Oh, no.
We've all got our own techniques. Yeah, I tell you, my son's one step away from yelling stranger danger when I go to pick him up.
Stranger danger.
No, I'm his dad. Trust me, I'm his dad.
Hey, Limo, are you heading to Baghdad or where are you going?
Yeah, I've got highly confidential, but I'm going to some undisclosed locations in the Middle East to do some shows for the troops. Yes, that is correct.
As really? I've said before, you are the modern day Big Pretzel. Now, you don't know who Big Pretzel is.
Big Pretzel.
She's the lady that used to do tricks with her boobs, believe it or not. She's to go and entertain the troops. Haven't you heard of Big Pretzel?
What? I have not.
Tricks with her boobs.
Look up Big Pretzel. She used to have, she would wear a bikini, right? And on the end of each, you know, breast, on the outside of the bikini, there'd be these tassels, and she could get them to swing both ways and inwards, outwards. That was her trick.
Oh,
Big Pretzel. I'm telling you, she was a cabaret.
What era are we talking here?
Oh, in the 70s, 60s and 70s. There you go. Mel's just Googling it for me now.
The Big Pretzel.
Big Pretzel.
Sounds like a lolly or something.
She was no lolly, I can tell you. Oh,
she was sweet.
It was a mouthful. Should we wrap this segment up? Anyway, Google Big Pretzel and you'll be a big hit with all the troops over there, Limo, I can tell you.
All the 60-year-old bloody army people.
They'll love it.
All right.
Hey, Roo, can't you imagine back in the 70s, Dits, huge fan of Big Pretzel, he would have bought his own bra with the tassels on it for practicing at home.
All right, thanks, Limo. Good luck over there.
All right, thank you, mate.
All right, good on you, Limo.
It's on Triple M.
Ladies, ruined Dits for breakfast on Triple M.
We thought you girls were sugar and spice and all things nice.
Ruined Dits, angels.
Good morning, angels.
Good morning, ruined Dits.
This is where we get our ladies in, Rue, the girls, the women. Don't know what I'm allowed to call them these days.
Females.
Yeah, females. Chicks. And they sort us blokes out. We've got Mel, the button pusher, who pushes all our buttons here. We've got Alice, the wag, our producer.
And we've got Batesy, who's one of the execs from the sale team.
So, exec.
Yeah.
Mm. She's like being called an exec.
Hey, Big Brother is on its way back, Roo. Now, is that a big thing in your household or not?
It was when Ryan Fitzgerald went on it. I've never sort of watched too much of it since, but I remember when he was on there and it was absolutely fantastic.
Yeah.
And we knew he was going on, so we got him to do a lot of, and he was just starting to do a bit of work at the Alma back then, so we cashed in on it.
But I heard you say out of a meeting you had at the pub yesterday at the Alma that some people are very excited about
this. Well, one of the guys in there in his late 20s was pumped that it was happening, and one of our waitresses or, you know, bar girls, she wants to go on it.
You're kidding.
Yeah.
Talk her out of it. It is the most inane television I've ever seen. Nothing. Yeah. Watching people in a house. Just what, chatting among themselves.
If you know someone on it, it would give me a reason to watch it.
Right.
Alice, would you go on it?
I had so many text messages from people yesterday saying, you've got to go on, you've got to go on. But my mum said since the date started, if you ever go on that, I'll disown you.
I'll never talk to you again.
She said your grandma could never look at you the same. Because no matter what you say or do, even if you go in with good intentions, you're still going to like get your bum out there and... I'd say probably some dumb stuff.
You would be perfect for the Big Brother house. You'd give so much content.
But if you didn't have that pressure then from your mum, your grandma, whoever.
I'd 100% go on it. I think it would be so fun.
She wants to go. You can tell
she wants to go. Why is it so fun? It looks boring to me.
Nah,
why is it fun?
It's just an experience. You could never do it again. You get 3 months where you don't have contact with the outside world, which in itself would be an amazing learning curve, I reckon.
About what?
Well, when have I ever not had a phone in my hand?
Like, with no phones in there?
No, contact with the outside world. You don't
get any
news.
What would you learn in there? Seriously, what would you learn?
Well, when I was little, I used to watch Big Brother Uncut and I learned sex ed on it.
You already know that. Alice, you've been going out with Joel for how many years now?
9.
So you're meant to go in there and pash on and do things with other people?
No, it's not like that. You can go in and be married. You can have children. It just cuts you off from the outside world. It's like an experiment.
All right,
sounds like she's keen.
I could never go on it, but I'm really going to campaign for Alice to go on.
Let's start something on Triple M, shall we?
It would be so good. She would be amazing on it. I'd be too boring, I think, because I'd go to bed at like 9:30 and...
You would. With like 3 moisturisers on.
Yeah, my skincare routine would be a whole show.
Rollers in your hair.
Rollers in your hair.
Skincare. Like, could you imagine?
Oh, God.
What do you think, Mel?
I loved the first one. There was an innocence when it first started and it was really funny because people were just silly and they didn't know how to play the game. And Sarah Marie, the bum dancer, the bunny. Yeah. I loved her so much. And I watched it with my mum. It was like Hey Hey, It's Saturday, you know, something you could watch together as a family. It was just stupid. But I've only just remembered, literally as we started talking about this, I've been kicked out of the Big Brother house.
What?
Because Triple M Brisbane, we had our, when I worked there in our Brisbane office, we had our Christmas party there 1 year.
What did you do?
And someone got on the Big Brother microphone who works there and said, can the girl in the pink top please have a glass of water or she has to leave? So drink responsibly.
So Alice,
you're keen.
I would love it.
Oh my God.
You need to go on.
I think we start a campaign. Right. Let's have a discussion about this. This is big.
Righto. So we'd need a producer for 3 months.
My mum's going to start calling me.
She'd come around. It'd be so fun. She'd love watching you on there. She'd come around.
You would be a star, 100%.
Okay, let's stop.
This could be great for your profile.
The wag.
The wag.
Alice, sorry to harp on this.
It's just disturbed you.
I am. I haven't seen a lot of it. Obviously, in passing, you see bits and pieces. Isn't it just people in a house and you sit around talking? Isn't it just as boring as anything or not? Have I missed the whole point?
Yeah, it's literally like this radio show on TV.
Right.
Two people sitting around talking.
You have challenges and stuff, though.
Yeah.
So each week there's a different challenge. It's good.
Righto.
All right, let's dig. Let's look for this. This could be big, big news here. Wind the odds in for Alice to go on Big Brother. Now the bookies are squealing.
Righto. Ruined it's on Triple M. Hey, Roo, terrible shooting overnight in Sydney, the western suburbs. A man has shot into a house. He's got a pump-action shotgun. He's then gone to two different police stations and opened fire on the stations. At the second one in Penrith, he actually shot at police. A policeman is in hospital, having been wounded, and the gunman now has ended up dead as well, fatally shot by police.
Let's have a listen to it.
Oh, God, I'm telling you, this is happening. This is a whole picture in front of my eyes.
The officer
officers have shot a man dead outside Penrith Police Station in Sydney's West after he opened fire, injuring an officer.
Oh my God, oh my God, oh my God!
I remember seeing him sort of point the gun at the police car and shoot.
Just heard three loud bangs. It sounded like it was firecrackers.
The police have done an outstanding job and really have shown a lot of courage and bravery, but also a lot of empathy and care during this incident for the deceased person.
Yeah, not good at all, Dits. But the man has been identified as 32-year-old Daniel King. On his Instagram page, as you can see, he's a heavily tattooed bodybuilder, posing in shots with thick gold chains and dogs and carrying a baseball bat. He apparently shot at a house where his former partner, who is 27 weeks pregnant. Mm. Okay, apparently they haven't seen each other for 7 months, so if you do the maths, I would think it's
not his child.
Yep. So you can maybe read into that what you will. Very sad situation, Dits. Not good.
No, not at all.
And you don't get your hands on pump-action shotguns easy. It's very different even to a normal shotgun. So where you get those from, you have to have connections, I would have thought.
Yep. Now, just the other thing in the news this morning, totally unrelated, obviously, but we're just moving on. Petrol prices we've talked about in the last day or two. Driving in this morning, our overnight program, Roo, in the eastern states, people are ringing in, quoting prices now of $1.94, $1.95. Mm. We are heading upwards towards $2 a litre.
Yeah, that drone attack in, where was it, Saudi, has sent oil prices from $66 a barrel to $84+, with the Australian dollar going down. It makes petrol even dearer. So, not good timing for school holidays where people are going on little road trips and everything.
Now, we had a look around this morning on the, whatever that website is, where you can check petrol prices.
Yep.
And in Adelaide, still around the high 140s, so that at the moment's a bargain, so jump on it.
Don't fill up in the eastern suburbs. It's dearer there. Yeah. So,
all right, Roo and Dits here on Triple M. Coming up to 9 o'clock, Roo and Dits here on Triple M.
Triple M. Roo and Dits.
The show that was.
The show that was. You've already missed this on Triple M's Roo and Dits, but don't worry, you can catch up on the Triple M app when the show's finished.
Great new segment earlier on today, things you can learn even at our age. And we found out that prunes are in fact plums.
So my mum about 10 years ago realised that there's no such thing as a prune tree. She actually thought prunes grew on trees.
Hang on. A prune is a plum.
Yes, I know that.
There you go. I've learned something as well.
I thought there was prunes.
There is prunes, but there's no such thing as a prune tree.
So prunes are dried plums.
That was Robbie from Victor Harbour. Taught us all sorts of things this morning.
I couldn't believe it. I pride myself on the fruit game, Dits. You know that.
Yeah.
And then I threw that one in about if you fill up a 2-litre bottle full of water and put it on the fire, the plastic bottle doesn't melt.
Yeah.
It actually explodes and it's really, really dangerous. Yeah. And then we had this caller.
You know, you can boil water in a paper bag on a fire.
Oh, cut it out.
Paper burns at about 450 degrees Fahrenheit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Water boils at 212. Paper doesn't get hot enough to burn if there's water in it.
You're right. So the temperature of the water keeps the bag cold enough and the temperature of the water keeps the plastic bottle cold enough so it doesn't burn.
Correct.
That was Paul.
Yeah, and he did go on to say that it wasn't just sort of thin paper. It might have been a little bit more. Like a Farmers Union iced coffee or something like that.
Yeah.
Interesting stuff. That's what you'll learn on our show when we've got nothing else to talk about. Hey, who we got on tomorrow? We got Rudy Vanderstone on tomorrow.
Yeah, I love Rudy coming on. He will critique another TV show on Australian TV. It's just brilliant.
The week that was, we'll find a tip at the races. And
we have a coach by tomorrow?
Dunno.
Oh, you do know.
I wouldn't have thought so, Dits. Have a great day, everybody. Enjoy Adelaide.
Don't miss a minute of Roo and Dits for breakfast on our podcast, thanks to Distinctive Homes, the striking premium display home in Lightsview. Distinctivehomes.com.au 104.7 Triple M.